Go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to look at verses 5 through 10 this morning. 1 John chapter 1. In 1997, I can't believe it's been that long ago, but in 1997, Jim Carrey released a movie called Liar, Liar. In that movie, he played a character, Fletcher Reed, a fast-talking attorney, a habitual liar, and divorced father who was incredibly successful in his law career, but he had built his career on lying. He had a habit of giving precedence to his job and always breaking promises to be with his young son, Max. Fletcher lets down Max one too many times, and his son's birthday doesn't show up for his son's birthday party, so Max makes a wish at that birthday party. And his wish is that his dad would have to go through one whole day without telling a lie. What ensues after that in the movie is pretty comical, although I am not in any way endorsing the movie. I want to be clear about that. Do not say that the pastor endorsed Liar, Liar. I'm just telling you the story from the movie. It's a neat story, but there's too much in there that you don't need to see. But I did want you to see a short clip of one instance where he gets pulled over by a policeman in the middle of that day where he has to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and he's gonna be stuck telling the truth the entire time. So if you would, direct your attention to the screen, and you'll see Jim Carrey having to tell the truth.
You know why I pulled you over?
Depends on how long you were following me. Eek!
Why don't we just take it from the top?
Here goes. I sped. I followed too closely. I ran a stop sign. I almost hit a Chevy. I sped some more. I failed to yield at a crosswalk. I changed lanes in the intersection. I changed lanes without signaling while running a red light and speeding!
Is that all?
No. I have unpaid parking tickets.
Oh, well, sometimes when you have to tell the truth, it's pretty hard. As we look at this text in 1 John this morning, we'll consider the reality that our fellowship with God will be much better when we don't lie, when we tell the truth. So let's take a look at 1 John 1, beginning in verse 5, 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, at what Word of God has to say to us, and I'll ask you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. 1 John 1, verse 5. Now this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you, God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in Him. If we say we have fellowship with Him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. May the Lord add richly to the reading of His word. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You that Your word is truth. We thank You for the privilege of being in Your house today and studying Your word. God, open our hearts and minds and help us to see how our fellowship with You can be the best it possibly can be, Lord, and help us to choose to be honest with ourselves and honest with others and honest before You. It's in Your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to take a look at how we can make our fellowship with God better. Our fellowship with God is better, first of all, when we don't lie to others. Now, people that claim to know Christ and claim to have fellowship with Christ but walk in darkness demonstrate the reality that they're not practicing the truth and ultimately show that with their lives, that they don't know God. You can say you're a Christian. You can quote large segments of Scripture. You can tithe faithfully, attend regularly, and even serve on a committee. But if the pattern of your life continues to demonstrate that you're walking in darkness, you do not know Christ. You're living in sin. I'm not trying to get you to unnecessarily consider your salvation or to suddenly question grace in your life, but I do love you enough to want you to realize if there's not a genuine desire within you to follow God and to know God, it could be that you don't know God in the first place. You might have a desire to look good in the eyes of others, but that's not righteousness or holiness. You're seeking to deceive others rather than having them know the truth about you. We have one Lord to please, and that's who we should be living for. But if our alleged righteousness is simply for the eyes of men, then we don't love God and we don't know Him. Even as Christians, our fellowship is hindered when we allow sin to routinely become a part of our lives. Now, I want to explain what I'm saying here. I'm not saying that if you're really a Christian, you won't sin. I'm not saying that if you're a Christian that you'll never struggle with sin or you'll never have any temptations in your life. What I am saying, however, is that if you are a Christian, you will not be, listen to me, you will not be comfortable with sin in your life. The believer, the person who's walking with God, is not comfortable with allowing sin to stay in their life. Thankfully, we're covered in the blood of Christ, and He covers any sin in our lives, but because the Holy Spirit lives within us, we cannot tolerate sin in our lives. One of the real myths that we've created in the church through the years is the idea that Christians don't struggle with sin. We've bought into the idea that a good Christian doesn't deal with temptation. A good Christian has a perfect marriage. A good Christian raises perfect children. A good Christian never uses foul language. However, being in the ministry for as long as I have, I know through the years, I've known many godly people who had difficult, hard times in their marriage. Even when both spouses were seeking and loved the Lord, they've had difficult seasons in their relationship, in their marriage. Janice and I have never gone to bed angry at one another. We've stayed up all night a few times, but we... It's totally kidding. But seriously, I want to say to you, if you're looking for the perfect role model of a perfect marriage, don't look at me because it's not us. We're not perfect. We're not perfect people. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect father. But praise God, I know the perfect Father. And Christ has shown me how to be a bridegroom to my bride. I don't always obey, but He's shown me. I don't have perfect children, and neither do you. I can say honestly, that I have never cussed in a deacon's meeting. I've wanted to a few times, but I never have. As much as I would like to be able to tell you that nothing other than wholesome and encouraging words come from my mouth, that would be a lie. However, I don't question my salvation because I know that I'm not content in sin, and a Christian will not be content in sin. Be honest with yourself today, and if you can be content in sin, you probably don't know Jesus as your Savior. You definitely don't have fellowship with Him. The witness of our lives impacts those around us, and one of the reasons that we don't see more people coming to know Christ is because we choose to live in sin. We rebel against God. We don't need to live with that duplicity in our lives. We need to be genuine followers of Christ and acknowledge the reality that we're saved by grace. Acknowledge the reality that we're not righteous enough to be saved, but instead accept the fact that it is through His righteousness that we are saved. There's not a single one of us in this sanctuary that has it all together spiritually. Every single one of us is flawed and will continue to be flawed, but we should be seeking to live for Him and not comfortable or complacent in our sin. In 1995, DC Talk came out with an album entitled Jesus Freak. Long time ago now, a real departure from their previous album, which was more hip-hop in style. This album was a little different. It had a little more of a sort of rock sort of feel in some spots, but it had several songs on it that did really well, and this album did really well for DC Talk. It's one of my favorite albums through the years, and there was one particular song on the album, probably my favorite song on the album, called What If I Stumble? And it was a very reflective song about them being in the position they were in front of the public eye and their concern for, Lord, what if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and I make fools of us all? Will the love continue or the walk become a crawl? What if I stumble? So reflective and so mindful of the fact that we need to be careful in our walk. But before that song comes on the CD, there's a gentleman, and I'm not sure who it is, that makes this statement that was penetrating to me 22 years ago when I heard the album for the first time, and it's still penetrating to this day. And it says this, and I quote, "The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out of the door and deny him with their lifestyles. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be cheap talk when it comes to the Christian faith. I want to live out my walk before others so that they'll see Christ in me, so that they'll be drawn to him, not pushed away from him. I want to have fellowship with him, not just say that I have fellowship with him. My life will ultimately tell on me. It will show whether or not I have fellowship with him, and it will show whether or not I'm real in my walk. May we all be genuine followers of Christ so that others will see him in us, lived out in our lives. So we see that our fellowship with God is better when we don't lie to others. Secondly, our fellowship with God is better when we don't lie to ourselves. One of the real clear principles of getting help when someone has a problem, whether it's an addiction or something of that sort, is to admit that they have a problem. For us, let's face it, we can't come to Christ in the first place until we admit we have a problem, until we admit that we're sinners in need of a Savior. Then he will save us. Then he will cleanse us. The great danger of sin for us is that this deceives us, that it lies to us, that we convince ourselves that we don't have sin in our lives. I almost hesitate to ask this question, but how many of you went through the entire week this week without committing a sin? Whew, praise God, I'm not the only one. How many of you went through yesterday without committing a sin? All right, let's just be real here. I'm glad nobody raised their hand, because that would have been a lie. Therefore, that would have been sin too. You see, the reality is we don't go through one single day without committing sin. You say, well, I don't really remember anything in particular. I would be willing to bet you there was some point along the way where you had a selfish moment, a selfish thought. And I could just keep adding to that list. But the reality is we don't go through a day without sin in our lives, and it becomes deceptive. Honestly, I wish we could achieve a level of spiritual maturity where we would no longer worry about struggling with sin. I wish that I would never have another selfish thought and battle those desires to make myself comfortable rather than unselfishly living for the kingdom of God. On that same DC Talk album that I referred to a moment ago, there was a song entitled In the Light. And some of the lines of the song say this: the disease of self runs through my blood. It's a cancer fatal to my soul. Every attempt on my behalf has failed to bring this sickness under control. Tell me what's going on inside of me. I despise my own behavior. This only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a Savior. You see, there's not a day that we go by as Christians that we aren't still in need of a Savior. That's why Paul tells us in Philippians that we need to work out our salvation, because that process is ongoing. As God saved us and justified us, the process of sanctification begins, and we continue to grow in him, and we need to be in the light as he is in the light. It's in the light that we'll grow. It's in the light that we'll be strengthened. It's in the light where we'll have better fellowship with him. But if we're deceiving ourselves, if we're lying to ourselves, we won't be in the light with him. That's why Paul could speak to this so clearly. If we think that we've somehow gone beyond this and we no longer have struggles with sin, then we're saying that we're more spiritually mature than Paul. But in Romans chapter 7, Paul gave some clear words to this, beginning in verse 15. For I do not understand what I'm doing, because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my flesh. For the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. For I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Now if I do what I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but it is the sin that lives in me. So I discover this principle: when I want to do what is good, evil is with me. For in my inner self I joyfully agree with God's law. But I see a different law in the parts of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me prisoner to the law of sin in the parts of my body. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this dying body? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, to the law of sin. Paul just so clearly reminds us that we have this constant battle going with on within us, that there are times when we want to do the right thing and we give in to the flesh and we do the wrong thing. God gave us the law so that we would know that we can't even meet up to 10 commandments. 10 simple commands. We can't even meet up to those. But through God's amazing grace, He's made the way possible for us to have relationship with Him. And the thing is, when we develop relationship with Him, when we grow in fellowship with Him, we don't even have to think about whether or not we're following the commands, because when we're pursuing Him, He changes our hearts, He changes our minds, He transforms us into His image that we might live for Him and be more like Him in what we say and do. You see, I'm just going to be frank with you. I am worthless apart from God. There is nothing within me that is good. Nothing. If I try to do good on my own, I will not do anything that lasts for eternity. I am only capable of sin apart from God. My very best efforts fall woefully short of His righteousness. Therefore, I have to trust His righteousness to see me through. I have to trust His righteousness to accomplish any real good works that actually last for eternity. I love the way Charles Haddon Spurgeon put it. He said this, and I quote, "While others are congratulating themselves, I have to sit humbly at the foot of the cross and marvel that I'm saved at all." I want to read that one more time because that's so good, we don't need to miss that. "While others are congratulating themselves, I have to sit humbly at the foot of the cross and marvel that I'm saved at all." It is only by God's grace that we're saved, not our goodness, not our works, His amazing grace. So our fellowship with God is better when we don't lie to others and when we don't lie to ourselves. Finally, our fellowship with God is better when we don't make God a liar. Perhaps the most egregious thing we can do to hinder our fellowship with God is to make God a liar. We can lie to others, and that's bad. That's not a good thing. We can lie to ourselves, and that's a pretty wicked deception. But when we lie so much that we make God a liar, we have done the worst of the worst. When we say we're without sin, we deny the truth that God has already stated. Not an opinion, folks. God has already said we are sinners. Without fail, I've seen that the mature believer, the believer that walks closely with the Lord, is fully aware of the nature of grace and the sinner that they are. It's an amazing context, an amazing battle. You can't walk closely with God and be unaware of your sin. As a matter of fact, by virtue of being in God's presence, you'll become keenly aware of your sin. Remember Isaiah's experience in Isaiah chapter 6? "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above Him, each having 6 wings. With 2 He covered His face, and with 2 He covered His feet, and with 2 He flew. And one called out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory.' And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of Him who called out while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, 'Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. He touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'" You see, you can't be in God's presence and not be aware of your sin. You can't be in God's presence and not recognize your need for His amazing grace. But praise God, we don't have to be touched with a hot coal. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been made right. We can be in His presence. The amazing and wonderful dichotomy of being in God's presence is, on the one hand, we are fully aware of our sinful nature, and on the other hand, in the very same moment, we are fully aware of His amazing grace. What an unbelievable thing our God has done for us. The one thing that could keep us ultimately from being able to fulfill our purpose, our sin, God has wiped the slate clean through the blood of Jesus Christ. Just as Isaiah was accepted in God's presence, we are too, but because of the blood of Christ. I don't consider myself a liar, but the truth is that I lie sometimes. I'm guilty of not being completely honest 100% of the time, but before you want to run me out, let me remind you, you are too. See, we might tell a lie to protect somebody's feelings. We might get pulled over by a policeman and say, no, I didn't realize I was speeding. We might tell someone that that casserole was delicious when the dog turned her nose up at it. So I understand the compulsion that lives within us, but the one lie that honestly bugs me more than any other is when somebody says that I said something that I didn't say. Or when somebody twists something I said and makes it something that it was not. That flies all over me more than anything else. If you're going to repeat what I say, repeat me accurately. I can't imagine how much more so our Heavenly Father is brokenhearted when we make a liar out of Him. When we say something He didn't say. When we make out His word to be something that it does not say. When we twist His truth, as so many are prone to do today. The Word of God is absolute truth. It does not need my help to be more palatable. It does not need my help to say, hey, you know what? God wants you to be happy, healthy, and wealthy. Because if that were the truth, then he should immediately apologize to John, the writer of this epistle that we're reading. Not too sure he was happy about being boiled in hot oil. I don't think he was entirely happy about being on the Isle of Patmos. He had difficulties and struggles in his life. And all of us as believers who follow after God are going to have difficulties and struggles, but we can trust His truth. The Word of God says that there is none righteous. No, not one. The Word of God says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Word of God says that, and we all have gone astray like sheep. We're wicked and rebellious. We are not born good and then somehow corrupted by society. We are born sinners, constantly in need of a Savior. Apart from God, there is nothing good in me. I didn't do anything good to be saved, and I can't do anything good to remain saved. By the grace of God, I am saved, and through His amazing grace, He keeps me saved. I pray that I'll never get to the place in my mind that I think I'm perfect or without sin. I am a sinner, and the closer I get to God, the more aware of my sin I become. And I pray that as I continue to grow in Him, the more keenly aware I'll be, that I confess it immediately. If I want to improve in my fellowship with Him, I have to stay close to Him. And I have to continually confess that sin. I know I'm forgiven. I have the promises of His Word, just as we looked in verse 9 of this chapter. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a wonderful promise to walk in as believers. We don't need to walk around beating ourselves up as Christians. You see, that's one of there's two extreme dangers that happens in the church. One of them is this hedonistic idea, and this goes all the way back to the first century. The Gnostics were the same way. You had the hedonistic idea where just live however you want to because God's going to forgive you anyway. The Gnostics was a little different than that, but nevertheless, live however you want to because the flesh and the spirit are two separate entities, so don't worry about that. But then you have the other side that's legalistic. And with the Gnostics, it was, let's beat this body into submission, let's bring it under control. Well, legalism creeps its way into the church far too often, and we say, oh, you know, if you're a Christian, let me get out this cookie cutter because you got to fit this mold. This is what a Christian looks like. You dress this way, you listen to this music, you do these things. Well, if you're not reading your Bible an hour a day, you're not a real Christian. I mean, if you had an evil thought today, you're not a real Christian. And that's about as big a pile of baloney as there could ever be. Because the truth of the Word of God is we're going to constantly struggle in our lives. But the truth of the Word of God is we have a Savior who loves us. And no matter what we face, no matter what we've been through, He will be there to encourage us, to strengthen us, to carry us on. And yes, in those times when we need correction, He will be there for that too. What a wonderful, loving Savior we have. But let's seek to live our lives so that we don't make a liar out of Him. Let's seek to live our lives in such a way that others see a genuine reflection of the love of Christ. Our fellowship with God will be better when we don't lie to others by saying one thing and doing another. When we don't lie to ourselves, deceiving ourselves about our own sin. When we don't make God a liar, our fellowship with Him will be better. Let's seek to have the fellowship that God wants us to have with Him. Perhaps in your life you've been saying for years, well, I'm not really that bad a person. I'm not really a sinner. This whole God thing, I don't know that I need that. I mean, I want to say to you today, I don't care how many times we try to convince ourselves about how good a person we are, we'll never measure up to the righteousness of God. And the only way we can enter the kingdom of heaven is through the righteousness of God. Jesus looked at the people of His day and said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you won't enter the kingdom of God. And the Pharisees were the most religious of the day. But then Jesus went on to hang on a cross and to shed His blood so that His righteousness could be imparted to you, so that you could be forgiven. If you've never asked His forgiveness, if you've never placed your faith in Him, do that today. I can tell you on the authority of the Word of God that if you place your trust in Him, He will forgive you. He will give you eternal life. Don't miss that. Christian, if you realize that you've been living sort of in two worlds, talking one thing and doing another, ask God to help you to bring those things in alignment, to live out what you say, that your life might be consistent wherever you are, that others would see the love of Christ in you. Let's not be liars in the things that we do through our life. Let's be the genuine article, what God would have us to be, a reflection of His character. Maybe you have some hurt or burden in your life right now. You need to lay at His feet. Trust it to Him. Let Him have His way in it today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for Your amazing grace. I thank You for the fact that You love me in spite of my frailties, in spite of the times when I choose to be selfish, the times when I choose to do my own thing. But God, help me to have greater and deeper fellowship with You, that I might be a living reflection of You to those around me. God, for anyone here this morning that doesn't know You, I pray they would ask Your forgiveness right now and trust in You. For others dealing with burdens, God, I pray we'd have the wisdom to let go of that right now. To let You do Your work in our lives, God. Through the power of Your Holy Spirit, we pray You'd minister to each heart here right now. Whatever we need to do to glorify You during this invitation, God, I pray we do it. It's in Your precious and wonderful name we pray these things. Amen.